When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, Will.
How are you?
I'm so good.
I am very I would say excited about today's guest, but I got to be honest with you.
I'm more excited.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it, so I can't wait to learn because...
Kristen Princiata is here. She is the mom of Coco Melon,
which I had not heard of, and apparently has 121 billion views on YouTube.
Probably more just sitting here.
Billion with a B. Billion.
One more billion. What's one more billion? Let's go talk to her because
she's...
Yeah, because
I got to learn what's going on here.
Yeah, we got to teach you.
I hear voices.
Family in cartoons. Let's think about it that way. We are talking to, and now
we're going by the way.
Yeah, we're the red lights are on. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay.
We don't ramp up. We just go.
I like to be sneaky in the beginning of
it's
our
good.
Podcast.
You know what? Honestly, this is probably good.
Because you know what? It's almost like, it's like straight no chaser. It's kind of like, let's get into it, you know? Without a flinch. I can't say things I would normally say, because this is a family-friendly
Yes, we're keeping it family-friendly.
So we will not violate any of your morality clauses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that adults take, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. If there's one thing those kids are addicted to, it's Coco Melon.
I am so very sorry to everyone.
Oh, okay. Wait, guys, Kristen Princiata is here, and I said it wrong, even though I am Italian and totally flubbed that.
And she just told you how to say it. Is the funny? You literally went from, how do you say it, Princiata? Princiata.
Actually, Princiota. I mean, that's the other way.
So are you from Italy?
I am Sicilian.
Yes,
and Italian.
I
had a feeling that was like we were.
We need to talk
about. I'm just
going to
sit here for most of this podcast.
I promise you will be
corner.
A part of this chat.
I am, because I'm going to be the guy going, wait, what?
Wait, I'm
so,
sorry.
We talk a lot about fandoms and.
Nerddoms,
but fandoms too, right? In you know, I hear voices. Today, Kristen is going to tell us all about her role in the empire that is Coco Melon. I would say, oh, it's a little YouTube channel, because it's not. It's an entire movement.
Used to be.
Yeah, and we got to get into how it's grown. And in the last 9 years, you've been a part of this growing empire that's just seen unprecedented movement.
It's crazy. Again, it's coming as a neophyte. I knew nothing about this. I have no children. It's wonderful.
I was going to say.
But I knew nothing about this. And Christy's like, you know, she's amazing. I was like, God, so I'm looking at your stuff. I was like, this is great. And I was like, now what is Coco Melon? And she's like, oh, wait. You just wait. I was like, they must have what?
People
like a million views or something?
People either absolutely 100% know what it is, or they have no idea.
Well, it's like,
it's one or the other.
You're immersed in the world, or you've never heard of the
yep.
world. Right?
100%.
It's one of those two. Okay. Have you been there from the start?
Pretty much. So back in the day, it was actually called ABC Kid TV.
That's right. It was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
You remember those
days?
I remember
the merger.
Yep. The animation was a little bit older.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a mom 1.0 that didn't look like you as
well,
much.
Yeah, and when I first came on, there was some woman just doing kind of regular voiceover, not much singing. And then once they brought me on, it was more full-blown singing. Yeah. But there wasn't even a family until a few years in. Mm-hmm. I was just a voice in the videos. Hmm. There were like animal characters and different things. And then once it started to get big and grow traction to become more competitive, I think, with some of the other shows too, they all have families.
What are the other competitive?
Well, there's Little Baby Bum.
Yes.
Little Baby Bum, you've probably seen that one.
Yes.
Nope.
That might be... It's good. I'm going to
send him links of Coco Melon.
I can't wait.
I'm going to wake him up in the middle of the night.
I'm so sorry.
No, because
you're going to haunt your dreams.
I am an animation nerd. I love animation. So whether it's for little kids, adult, I mean, if it's good animation and it's good message, yeah, I'm down. Like, I'm totally
it's like doses. It's just doses.
Well, we don't get that option in my house of doses of Coco Melon. It's just Coco Melon.
Oh, but Kristen, tell me.
Was it always on the YouTubes?
It was. So okay. It started on YouTube. That's where it all began. Okay. So YouTube is like the flagship where it all started.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Which is good for the animators because, well, I would hope it's good for the animators, but it's good for the creators of it that are posting it there because they don't have to deal with all the shenanigans of studios and whatnot and all that. But I'm sure they're going to eventually get bought out. I think.
Yep. Well, they did,
right? What's on Disney Plus? Is it Coco Melon? Which one is it?
I don't think we're on Disney Plus yet.
No.
Though
it's
sometimes
the other
things
one.
Happen and then I find out.
No.
Congratulations. You didn't know that?
That's what happened with Netflix.
I think it's Little Baby Bum, no?
That's on there. That might be right.
Yeah, because we watched
that. They're
both
on. I think Little Baby Bum is also on Netflix, like Coco Melon is.
Wait, Disney's buying stuff? I hadn't heard that.
Well, oh, you know what? Blackstone bought Moonbug. So Moonbug bought Coco Melon about a year and a half ago, and then Blackstone bought Moonbug. And
but what are these companies? Are they
production? Disney people in it.
Okay.
Interesting. I know that. Yeah, these things aren't things that you see on Deadline, to be honest. Like what I find interesting is that a lot of dealings in the traditional production world and mergers or whatever, acquisitions and stuff like that, they're happening and then they're documented on Deadline or Hollywood Reporter.
Right.
But when it comes to YouTube creators and content and stuff like that, especially, it's not really regulated, essentially.
Exactly. Right. It isn't.
And I'm sure that, like, I'm actually kind of curious, like, how did you come to this opportunity? Mm-hmm. How has it grown over these 9 years? Mm-hmm. And, like, what is it, a day in the life of filming a Coco Melon, like, song or whatever it is?
Absolutely. Well, and I always say I wish it were a more glamorous story, but total transparency, like, rewind back to my super senior year of college. I did 5 years.
I did 12.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Still in it.
But, you know, life is college. And as I was graduating, like most young newbie music majors, you went on Craigslist.
Oh, interesting.
And you browsed gigs because that's what one did when you were a young little, you know, 22-year-old.
That's actually obviously an amazing idea and you should all try to do that.
Yes. So I went on Craigslist and there was just this post and it was like seeking female singer for nursery rhymes. And I was like, I just studied opera. I think I can sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Yeah, you're like, wow. I'm hoping this isn't some millionaire that's just getting me to sing lullabies for the
kids.
And
it was just like a regular looking post, like nothing crazy. And so I submitted for it. I get a phone call. He asked me to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star over the phone.
Who's he?
Jay Gian. He was the original owner.
Okay.
But when it got bought out by Moonbug, he completely sold it.
Sure. Wow.
So he stepped away. He was wonderful.
Oh, that's nice to know that.
He was wonderful.
Family man or what was he
family
like?
Family man. Okay. And he had little ones at home too.
And is that how he conceived of Coco Melon or?
You know, that's actually a good question. I think so. It was always his baby.
Right.
Like it was his
baby.
Wait,
JJ is
JJ is actually a 12-year-old girl.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, right.
Do you know her name?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
This
and
is where
I think
lost
they
me.
Actually would bring the baby, you know, the baby with the big eyes and
JJ.
There's the like kind of the lead character baby.
JJ.
Yes.
Okay.
Ava Madison Gray. You should all look her up on
Hold
Instagram.
Hold on, was she that
She's
little
a
girl?
Lovely little girl.
Hold on a second, though. 12 years. Was she in Frozen?
She might not be 12 yet, actually. She looks older than she is. She might be 10.
Was she
in Frozen?
Was she in the voice of Frozen? Was she in one of the little girl voices in Frozen? I feel like I met them at a Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
I'll Google it.
Yeah, but please look her up. She's an amazing little girl. She does all the things, dancing, singing, acting, way beyond what I did at her age. She's fantastic.
She's singing quite a lot as the little baby JJ.
She is. Yeah. Like when I, because my voice gets tired. Like I'm a human. And like whenever I start burning out, I just think about the kids and I'm like, gosh, It's amazing the demands that they handle, but they love it and have so much fun with it.
Yeah. So how do you guys film this and how long are the dates?
Can we get back to her getting the job on Craigslist?
Sorry.
I want to hear about the Craigslist job because I thought you only went to Craigslist to get a couch.
Yeah, me too. But so I sang Twinkle Twinkle and he was like, great. And I was like, great. And then I came and originally started recording at his home studio, like down in his basement, like most studios.
Not shady at all with Craigslist.
I remember my dad being like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Where are you going? You met someone on Craigslist and now you're in his basement. Okay, we're there.
I was like, Dad, it's Irvine, California.
Oh, he was in Irvine.
Irvine, California. Yeah. So, and his wife was part of the animation. Anyway, so I went down and you're not doing it live while watching animation. They just, you record and they put it all together later. That's still how they do it.
That's like what we do. Sure.
Yeah.
That's like what we do.
How most is done, yeah.
Yep. But now I record completely remotely. So, and most of us do. They just opened up an LA studio recently, so some of the kids are going in person. They allow me to still record remotely just with my schedule and my life. It makes things a lot easier.
Sure.
But they work the magic after the fact with syncing everything, which I think is fascinating, and I would love to see how they do that.
So then you wanted to be a singer as opposed to being, like, you didn't go, you didn't come out of school and go, I want to be a voiceover actor.
Exactly.
She's a singer too.
Yes.
Because she
sings the song first.
So that's the thing. And this is where I'm like, oh gosh, I hope this isn't lame, but I actually have very little acting or like legitimate voiceover experience.
No,
because
that's not lame at all.
Music was the thing. I was a music major, studied opera, was going to be a singer.
Well, you know, we've spoken about the fact that one of the entry points for me doing KP, because that was my first big animation character, was because I had, it was because I had singing background. And so it was, I was able to kind of like enter into
Twist that in.
Yeah.
Because you did like the theme song and the, theme song.
I did a song, a secondary
song. Say the word. I remember the name of the song.
Say the word and Could It Be When They Kiss at Prom.
Oh, really? About? Oh, that was, you sung that one too?
Yeah, that was me.
I didn't know that.
Well, Ron and Kim kissed during
that song. I remember the Ron and Kim
kissing. That's the thing about the voiceover world, though, that I actually think is just so cool. It's like, you don't know who these people are. Like Marnie Nixon. If you remember Marnie Nixon? And she was the voice on like The King and I and... Oh, my gosh. West Side Story.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking
about.
West Side Story and, oh, there's one, My Fair Lady.
She
was the singing voice of the actress.
She sung for Natalie Wood in the original 60s. Yeah, and
Shelby
she was like the unsung
that.
Kind of voice of her generation. Yeah, it was.
But no one knew.
Yeah.
And it also wasn't kosher
you
to
couldn't
say.
No, because you couldn't break the fourth wall. Of course Natalie Wood sung when it was like, obviously it wasn't Natalie Wood. And I don't think Natalie Wood ever claimed that she sang, but they also don't ever
say
like
who
it was.
It.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nowadays, I feel like it's more
everything's
like
talked about nowadays. Yeah, everything's talked about
You can
about
just
nowadays.
Look up who sings what.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So then you wanted to be a singer.
Yes.
So let's say Cocomelon never happened, and we'll get back to Cocomelon, but Cocomelon never happened. Where do you end up in your career?
Yeah.
As a performer, whatever that might look like.
No, it's a great question. And as you know, in the arts industry, it's a lot of patchworking at the beginning.
Sure.
You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. And, you know, I was teaching voice lessons and just recently stopped. So I taught voice lessons for about 10 years, sang at a church. You know, you get paid to sing at church. Feels terrible saying that, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a singer gig.
Yeah.
And musical theater and some operas. I sang with the San Francisco Symphony Chorus.
Wow.
You know,
so,
things
like
that.
So like, you did a lot of different things. That's awesome.
A lot of different things,
yeah.
But it's finally started to hone in, which is nice because it's nice to get to a place where it's not all the things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My other thing, quick little shout out to Songbird Studios in San Francisco. I'm the manager of a voice teaching studio in the Bay Area.
Oh, cool.
So people can come take voice lessons.
Yeah.
So I hire, train, and facilitate continued education for teachers. So like I teach teachers to teach singing. And still perform here and there, and then Cocomelon, and all of that combined is
so I feel
like anything. And then you sleep, and then you sleep when you can
sometimes and rest my voice, honestly. On the other days,
you have such a beautifully clean voice.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And I say that for someone who's had like nodule surgery, and so after I had my nodular surgery, which was the same surgery that Julie Andrews had, which ruined her voice.
Yeah, she couldn't. She like never sang again, right?
Yeah.
Oh, such a shame.
And then she sang a little bit in Princess Diaries, but it, you could tell that it
wasn't the same.
It wasn't a full voice box.
Yeah.
And so I was very nervous going into it because that had just happened where she was like suing the person who did the thing.
Oh, wow.
But I had an opportunity to potentially do Belle on Broadway. And so I said, I'm going to take this risk. I'm going to go and like face my fears. 2 years of surgery and do it. So mm-hmm. I went under the knife and I had a clean voice box.
Yep.
But if you don't have the proper like post-op speech pathology, and if you right. don't sing correctly,
mm-hmm. you can screw it up again.
You can.
Didn't Adele go through yep. something like
but
that
yes,
too?
Yes, and this is a lot of singers like, do. Yeah. There's so much stigma, and just like I have so much respect for you going through all of that.
Oh, it was so hard.
We have to talk more about that later because I'm a huge voice nerd too, and just vocal health
tell how
and everything.
Sure.
Oh, you're so sweet. It takes maintenance, and it's not always like this.
And I'm guessing you're not a heavy smoker.
No.
Yes, I figured as much.
Not out of like a pretentious thing. I just can't.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's your job. It's your instrument.
Except when I'm walking down the street and it starts coming my way, I'm like, oh, you know.
Please stop.
Please go away. there's a big stigma around it, but it's just like athletes. Like, think of some of the best athletes in the world. They've all had injuries of some kind.
Of course.
And they rehabilitate and then they go back.
And you get your knee scoped and you do this and you do that. Yeah.
Yes, and they're never exactly the same again, but they still perform.
Sure.
And I think that stigma really needs to be taken down with singers, you know.
So what is the stigma?
Just that you have bad technique. If you lose your voice, if you get nodules, it means you have terrible technique and you don't know how to sing and you don't know your limits. And
you got bad habits.
Just bad
you
habits.
You don't really have
But the thing is, we weren't born on this planet to use our voice to that extent. Like, we weren't born to be professional singers.
Right.
So you're pushing your body to an extreme that's not the default. And just like athletes do, they push their bodies past like what bodies were made to do. And so anything like that, you know, everyone has limits. And that's just
nodules are basically these little calluses on the vocal cords that develop, and then they sort of bruise one another. They sort of hit each other if you're not really pitching your voice correctly.
Right.
And so this is kind of really cool to talk about with you because it's something that's very near and dear since the surgery and all of the post-op work that I had and a lot of the criticism that came after. You know, people, because I went straight into Beauty and the Beast and I was singing 8 shows a week. But I didn't have a lot of the technique. And I also think being post-op.
Even if you do, that's a lot.
It's a lot. It's significant.
Even if you do, that's a lot.
I wasn't going from Broadway show to Broadway show. So, like, my muscular setup in my vocal cords wasn't, like, really beefed up. So I was getting acupressure, acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I was getting my larynx massage to pull it back down.
Yes, Amy Chapman.
Her name sounds familiar. Yeah,
do they actually massage? It's like a
They move it around. They pull it down. They push it to the side.
See, I would be curious because of Ron, like with the way that he did Ron Stoppable's voice, it was pitched up very high.
Yeah.
Which I feel like was a saving grace for you to do it because he's done other voices too where it's been like Batman where it's like
very
gravelly.
Right, where it was like that, right?
Where your larynx is literally pulled down when you do those.
Right.
Yeah, and so,
cool
and then he can also do so many voices in one session. Don't they hire you to do like three different voices? And it's up to three.
Do you manage that? Like, do you ever feel fatigued?
About it.
There's times where, it depends on what you're doing. If you're like, for instance, it's one of the reasons I stopped doing video games is because video games, at least back in the day, used to just shred your voice.
Oh, I can
so
only
you
imagine.
Would do a 4-hour session where, you know, you were screaming at the top of your lungs for 4 hours.
Oh, because my anxiety.
It was terrible. But no, I mean, most sessions, they go pretty quick and, you know, you're there 2-3 hours and depending on what kind of characters you're doing. And especially if you're doing three characters a show, you're usually not three leads. It's like, you know, you're doing guard number 2 and the mayor and then maybe Ron Stoppable kind of thing. So it's like you have one. So it's not like you're sitting there just bashing yourself. But no, I had some problems with my vocal cords before.
Yeah, you have a great ENT, right? That you've gone to.
My ENT.
Have you ever gotten scoped?
Sure.
To see the
Oh, yeah.
Are you clean?
I am. But there was a time they didn't know what was going on there. And there was a bruise on my vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh my gosh.
That was fine. Mm-hmm. It went away.
Okay.
But yeah, shout out to Dr. Warren Line in Burbank who is an ENT who deals with a ton of voiceover actors.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'd walk in, he'd be like, what are you doing this week? I'd be like, I have 8 sessions. And he'd just go, no actor should have 8 sessions a week. I'm like, but I'm an actor. I want eight more.
And
he's like, so you walk in and you see other actors that you know kind of sitting in the waiting room waiting for you. But
I had to do in order to get through this run, which
I was going to say 8 days a week. That's like not.
It's 8 shows, right?
Or
but
shows,
yeah, it
right,
is 7
but, yeah.
though. It is. Yeah. You only get Monday off. But I did it for 4 months, or was it 4? No, yeah, it was 4 months or so, and then they added me another 4 months.
Because
at the time I was still like pretty present in everyone's minds with a lot of these Disney shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, yeah, you keep the butts in the seats, so let's extend. But my voice was starting to, I believe, get a little bit more shredded.
How is it not? I mean,
exactly.
How can you not when you're, that's again, like using the athlete kind of thing. It's
Well,
I'm running all day long. How do your knees not
your vocal cords are like the two teeniest pieces of tissue and they like vibrate thousands of times per second. Yeah. And you're just hitting multiply notes that. Are that.
And you're doing that over and over.
Yeah. They offered, which I guess technically I'm not sure is that ethical, but they offer you these inhalers that have like cortisone in them.
Okay, yes.
So you can do inhalers. I mean, the rock stars, like the real.
Yeah, that get, hello, Cleveland. Those guys,
and they get paid to sound like that.
Yeah, and they want them. They actually want those nodules on their vocal cords.
It's part of the sound.
It's part of the sound. Like Rod Stewart has nodules, doesn't want them removed.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. I mean, I worked with one voiceover actor. I won't say his name, but he's an older actor and one of the best in the business and a heavy smoker.
Okay.
And I remember one time going up to him going, I'm just curious, how long are you going to smoke? And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, I figure in another 5 years, I'll be able to hit all the registers that I want. And I was like, oh, he's smoking for a reason.
Wow. Because like, he wanted to hit,
like he figured another 5 years of smoking and he'd be able to hit a lower raspier. So he's like, I should be able to hit all the registers.
But I wonder if technically, if he could do that, achieve that without.
Right.
Probably. Because
you can train like a low laryngeal position.
I mean,
we talked
to Kevin Conroy, who's Batman Forever, and you know, he puts on that voice and he's like, wow. I mean, it's just got that baritone to it.
So you ended up working with a lot of kids then. Do you end up ever teaching the kids?
Well, like the Cocomelon kids?
Yeah.
I've never met any of them.
Oh, no.
This is the price.
So I actually don't even know my daughter or my husband.
Wait a minute. We need to talk about
this. This is one of the things that we want to talk about here because that's one of the things that people don't understand that makes this side of the industry different than almost any other side of the industry is you can work for years and never actually meet. So one of the things we've talked about, which we're building up to and we're very excited, is this is the 20th anniversary of Kim Possible.
20th?
And the cast of Kim Possible has never been in the same room together. So for the first time ever, at some point on I Hear Voices, we're going to have the entire cast of Kim Possible together. It's never happened.
Oh, my God.
So again, you're on this juggernaut that is just huge, and you don't know your fellow. You've been working for years, and you don't know your fellow cast. No. Would you recognize them if you saw them?
Ava, yes, the one who's JJ, because her mom and I Facebook message all the time.
Okay.
You know, so we'll just talk about things behind the scenes, and I've emailed with my husband occasionally.
Now, who plays your husband?
My husband is Jake Tickner.
Okay, first of all, this is why I love podcasts, because anybody who just pops in on this is going to have somebody hearing somebody go, my husband's name is Jake. Like, I don't know my husband.
I think it's, well, I mean, yeah, people ask me all the time, who voices this and that? And I'm like, you know,
does
it
change? Is there a turnover that you don't even realize?
For the adults, it's been pretty consistent. Okay. For the kids, yes, because
your voice changes.
Puberty, and they.
Your voice changes.
For the last 9 years, there's been like a couple.
There's been some switchovers.
So let's go back. So my kids are obsessed with Cocomelon. You guys have what is it, like 10 billion views or something? First of all, don't apologize.
I think it's 100 billion, over 100 billion
views. I checked last night in case
views.
You were going to ask.
Oh, thank you.
I think it was like 128 million subscribers and then like about the same 120 billion views.
That's insane.
It is the second most watched YouTube channel. The second most watched YouTube channel.
What's the top one? The top one's like
the top one is
PewDiePie?
T-something.
Which I still don't know what
that is. T-something. T-Series is the number one and number two is Cocomelon.
Okay. Jeez Louise.
Number two on the internet machine is Cocomelon, which is now, when you started, how long did it take before you realized, wait a second, we've got something here?
Yeah, I'd probably say maybe, excuse me, like 3 or 4 years in.
So it took that long.
I'd say so. Maybe a little, because it was like a slow climb. And then I felt like it was like overnight that new media became the new thing for kids.
Right.
Like cable was no longer the thing.
No.
And it was them looking up things on YouTube and Netflix. And
how did you see that? I'm curious. How did you feel that change?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. YouTube, I noticed just from like popping on, I don't watch the videos all the time, believe it or not. You know, I don't have kids yet. And so I record them, I send them along, you know, you probably hear the songs more than I do.
I do.
And I just, you know, started popping on and going, oh wow.
No.
Oh, wow. wow, okay. And then I remember once noticing or seeing an article someone sent me that it got pushed onto Netflix, and I actually didn't even know. I was like, oh, okay. And so that happened, and it just, this stuff happened so fast. Yeah. It happens overnight.
Oh, wow.
And, cool, but I think it's because kids are trigger happy. They just press play, you know, over and over. And, you know?
It's also because, yes, they love that repetition.
Yep.
And the parents are eager.
Keep them quiet.
Exactly. You're very eager to make your kid happy and watch something that's safe. Mm-hmm. What Cocomelon, I think, provides is that feeling of like a safe family environment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so like a lot of things are not like that anymore. Like when I was coming up, or like when TGIF was around and he was in Boy Meets World, or like when we did KP, like there was a push for things not to be so edgy or like tackling big problems or morals of this. I mean, granted, on TJF, you guys had very special episodes and stuff, but for the most part, it was always like at the end of it, it was like a happy, safe.
No matter what happened in the beginning or throughout, and then it would end with that, you know.
And you knew that you could sit your kids down with you and watch. I mean, certain age kids, but Cocomelon is for really young kids, right?
Yeah.
Like really like they're doing a good job with Cocomelon and just a lot of the kids' shows these days is trying to bring in as real life experiences as they can that kids experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Like my kid was gonna go to their first day of school, and we watched
first day of school,
and it was helping them kind of mentally prepare through song.
Yes.
And then, oh my goodness, we sing all sorts of songs from Cocomelon as sort of mantras, though, to the child.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay,
so it's like they're like, like 1, 2, buckle my shoe, but now it's like, it's their song.
Right.
So, brushing their teeth. Like, there's
you showed me the brushing your teeth one. I instantly went and brushed my teeth. It worked.
Oh, she did.
It absolutely worked like a charm. I was like, I gotta go do this now.
Oh my God.
And might I add that she is beautiful, a Sicilian lady.
You're so sweet.
I am Sicilian. My kids think that. I don't think that they animated the mom to look like you, right?
Oh, did stop. They? Well, can I just preface, you know, I got my makeup professionally done today.
Yes, she looks amazing.
Thank you. But that's the funny thing. A lot of times they'll have, sorry, off topic a little bit, but
No such thing here.
Parents will say on TikTok, they'll be like, they say a lot of things on TikTok, but they'll say, she always looks so perfect and like put together.
The
like
mom?
They never show her in a messy bun or sweatpants. I'm like, well, that's what I'm wearing when I'm recording, if it helps.
Right, yeah.
So I'm like, no makeup. Like sweatpants recording, and then she looks perfect and beautiful.
Well, I will say that my kids think that I kind of look like her, and they'll be like, Mommy, that's you.
Yes.
And I'm like,
Thanks.
Nice.
That is mommy. Sometimes I'm like, I even told my husband, I go, hey, Brendan, the kids think I look like the Cocomelon mom.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, cool. He's like, that's the guy I come for.
First of all, your Brendan impression is spot on.
I don't look like that guy.
Spot on with the Brendan impression.
He doesn't think that he looks like the dad, though. And let's just bring up the dad.
Okay.
Because some people think he's problematic.
Let me say something here. I know about none of this world. And all day she's been talking.
Well,
I am. Oh, I'm along for the ride. I'm in the backseat.
There's a lot of questions.
But she's like, we got to bring up the dad. And I'm like, well, what's about the dad? She's like, we'll get there. But we got to talk about the dad. So what's up with the dad on Cocomelon? Is something going on that I don't know about?
I feel like there's just something kind of unfair about the fact that like the mom, like everyone loves the mom. She's just like, sweet, how can you not love her? And then there's this weird...
It depends
when it comes.
Is that what it is? Is the dad creepy? Let's
I didn't
be honest.
Want to say it, but
keeping
that
it real here.
So no, it's not that the dad is creepy. Of course, and you don't even need to say any of that stuff because we want you to keep your job.
Yes,
but,
thank you.
The dad is not creepy. He just creeps around and he's like, "Hey guys." He goes like this. He'll be like, "She'll be like with the baby." I say she.
And he's like, hi.
She'll be with the baby, the JJ baby, and she'll be like, brush your teeth. And he's like, you gotta brush your teeth.
Wow.
And then he goes,
so
he
just occasionally
goes and watches,
pops in.
And then he just goes back and watches football. And like, yeah, and just like,
do they
where
show
is the
him
dad?
Watching football?
The Cocomelon world is almost very, it's very poetic. It's kind of like a commentary on the American domestic, like, dynamics, okay? Like,
okay.
If you really want to take a look at it and why people are reacting to it so viscerally, is because, you know, there's a mom, there's a dad, there's these three kids, they live in a nice house, everything is bright and white, and there's, you know, there's the part of Cocomelon that's anamorphic or whatever, right? Anthropomorphic, like there's animals that talk to...
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Right.
I didn't know,
But then...
Yes, kind of that magical part of it.
But like you were saying, it's that... Once they became a greater and greater empire, they realized that they needed to lean into this domestic kind of nuclear
to
family
make it
structure.
Relatable. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But it's a traditional family structure.
Correct.
It is.
Mom,
currently,
dad, three
it's
kids.
It's very traditional. I'm very proud of the direction it's going with all the different characters they're bringing in.
Good. So there's
and other
bringing
ethnicities,
in diversity. And
they're even voicing the voiceover artists with ethnicities good. That coincide, which I think is fantastic. So that's
so it's
so
showing
good.
That the yeah. traditional life is not the only life out there where happiness is going to find you.
Right.
Which is great, which is necessary in this day and age.
Yes. So. And you'll see soon. I don't know what I can and can't say, but they're going to start branching out the families more, like with the kids at school, with their families and their parents,
oh,
and it
yeah.
won't always be traditional.
They have teachers and stuff. They have all sorts of different people. Yeah.
Now, as somebody, okay, so now I'm going to ask both of you because you're both so excited. somebody who's never seen Cocomelon, pitch me the show. What's the show? What is Cocomelon?
Are you tired and do your kids like bright colors?
That's the pitch?
Put it on Cocomelon.
Wow. Okay.
And you'll be good to go for at least
potty training.
A half hour.
Okay.
Learning how to brush your teeth, learning how to share.
So it's essentially all the books that my mom used to read me growing up made
it's
into
like
an animated series.
It's like Dick and Jane. Like it's like Jane and Dick in song form.
On a cheesy note, it kind of like, what is nice about it is I feel like it just provides, or animation in general, provides a safe space for kids to explore their emotions, their feelings, their experiences through characters. And like, you know, an adult might lose their job, a kid might lose their toy, obviously different things, but the feelings are just as real. And like Cocomelon tries to do the best they can with showcasing those scenarios where maybe they lost their toy or they didn't see their friend or they're moving. I think there's an episode where they're moving and... You know, so I was like, oh, okay, they're getting like deeper with it.
They
you
do.
Know?
They have a range of...
It's not
of,
just surface anymore.
Yeah, because the kids can't... I think the thing is that we treat our children differently than generations before. We're honoring kids' big feelings, they're called.
Yes.
And Cocomelon is honoring that in song form. Like, you know, the first day of school is very daunting to a child.
Sure.
So you need to communicate with them. And the best way to do that, if they're already kind of sitting down in the home, is to like sit there and watch it with them. I connect with my kids legit.
That's great.
During milestones with her character's voice and the
they don't give trophies to people for coming in like ninth, right?
What do you mean?
Like that's the thing now. It's like you came in ninth and you ran to the wrong base. Here's a trophy.
Oh, right. Like trophies for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They Cocomelon rules, man. I don't think so. I don't think they would. I think that they're gonna be like, here's how you cope with not winning the race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're gonna celebrate your friend because they did win.
Yes. Perfect. Okay.
Yes. I like that, like overcoddling.
That's great. Yeah.
No, there isn't an overcoddling. In fact, like the mom character is very nurturing when the baby and the kids are fighting. The language that they're using in the lyrics of the songs are also sort of reaffirming this type of parenting structure that's happening right now.
Where gentle it's like, parenting.
Yeah. This is how you brush your teeth. Like, it's like, let me show you how to do it. You know, it's just very different than like Looney Tunes. Like, honestly,
right.
when we grew up, we had to know at an early age that when a cartoon character was flattened by an anvil, that he was going to get popped back up.
Right.
And it was like, that was our Cocomelon, was like Looney Tunes. I remember that.
That's so interesting.
Okay. My parents were making dinner and I was watching Looney Tunes.
I guess so, but I don't think Looney Tunes was trying to teach you anything necessarily.
That's funny though you say that, because recently I was trying to think like, what was the Cocomelon when we were little? Because I think we're in a similar millennial.
I think wouldn't it have been
like,
something
what?
Like
Barney?
It also depends on how old you are, and I'm not going to ask, but I'm being 45.
Oh, that's fine.
It 32. Was like, see, yeah, the, I mean, yeah. So I would say it would be the equivalent of like Sesame Street, which is still around.
Yes.
Yeah, but see,
but
I
animated
don't see,
wise, I can't
but
like,
that's
think
just what you're saying. It's exclusively animated.
Sure.
And it's I wouldn't actually technically call Cocomelon, I'm sorry, maybe you disagree.
It's okay. No.
But I wouldn't call it educational.
Sure.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, I would rather put on Sesame Street to do what Sesame Street does.
Right.
What Cocomelon is a safe space for the child to just be entertained.
Right. It is.
Now,
much
is that
more
a mom way of saying you can put it on and know that your kid is going to be distracted so
you can go
do
cook
other
dinner.
Things?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So, if we're being honest,
right,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's a
but
safe
they're not
thing
gonna
that
go
for
harm
parents.
Themselves and break their arms like they did in the 80s. You know,
right. Well, we learned a lot with those broken arms.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, for instance, seatbelts, very important. But I mean, that's what it is. That's the question is Cocomelon being made for the children or is it being made for the parents?
Well, that's why the views are as high because what do you think?
Well, you know, I think it's a lot for the parents, you know?
Right?
However, I get very mixed reviews. I get people who just, oh, thank you so much. You save my household every day. I love you. And then I get like, I'm so sorry, all respect, but I can't stand hearing your voice all day in my house. But yeah,
but at least they're totally nice.
Understand.
But they're nice to you though, right?
They are.
So everyone across the board has been very like kind.
Oh, yes.
Nobody's trying to take down Cocomelon
Mom. No.
Because even on TikTok, they'll do lots and lots. They'll say, play this beginning, almost like the Kim Possible ringtone.
Right.
They've got like a ringtone-y kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
In the beginning. And so it's like it goes, right? And so they have like the quick like audio sample of it.
Okay.
And they say, play this and watch what your kid does. And the kids come running down the hall.
Oh, the TikTok challenge. Wow. Yes.
Yeah, it's very funny.
It is funny. However, I will say it is for the parents and kind of on a cheesier note though too, what's really like warmed my heart is when I'll hear, I've actually heard this quite a bit, parents saying like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. You know, my daughter or son has auditory and speech issues and this has tremendously helped them improve their speech and through the songs. And because I think the music is part of it too. Like music is that other language that's woven in.
Sure.
Kids relate to.
The tempo of it is at a very, what would you call like a mid-tempo?
It is a mid-tempo,
It's not too fast.
Yep.
It's funny, it's not like Paw Patrol.
Right. They're on the double.
Some of those songs are just like frat chants that you're just like, no, I don't want to like go.
Are you getting him in on this show? Are you getting him in on this show?
We should.
I'm sure we will. Yeah,
all the people come on the podcast.
But I can't. It is just such a different world when you have kids and when you don't have kids because there's things my wife and I will never ever look at each other and go like, I can't hear that Paw Patrol song.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll never happen.
It just won't happen.
But here's what I would say about something like Cocomelon or any of the other stuff going on in relation to children's programming, especially, or all programming, I guess. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, with everything we're going through, especially in this country, everything that's going on, how divided we feel, everything that's happening, something that's just nice is great.
Yeah, right.
That's all it is. It's just nice. And there's nothing wrong with just being nice.
Yep.
People pick it apart, or even I do. Well, I don't have kids, so I don't. But you know what? If it's just nice, then who cares?
If it's a good thing,
it's a good thing. Exactly.
And like,
exactly.
Let's just let things be good things.
It's a good thing. It's a nice little song that's teaching kids to brush their teeth. Great.
Right.
Like, it's just nice.
And you know, there's also some criticism. And I guess this isn't just for Cocomelon. However, I have heard it geared more towards Cocomelon of like the danger of them being so addicted to the colors and the and like too much TV.
Sure.
And you know, I'm also like, oh yeah, there should be moderation, you know?
Well, it's these compilations that they make.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. And I think the third time I'm going to say it is really when it's going to sound creepy. Can we get more into the Craigslist?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Because what we want to talk about is it is pretty amazing the evolution of Cocomelon, where you literally got cast off of singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on your phone to off of a Craigslist ad recording
exactly
in
the
strange man's basement that you met on Craigslist, which
he's
again
wonderful.
Is a wonderful guy,
wonderful
but
guy.
Still first on Craigslist, now in some guy's basement.
Yep.
and recording to now, it's the second most watched thing on YouTube. And
which is basically anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, yeah.
Which is basically anywhere.
Because as I was told.
And I had no idea.
But that's
no
the thing.
Idea.
So I was told by one Disney executive not too long ago that kids don't watch anything anymore except on YouTube. Like it is the number
new
one
media
thing.
Is thing.
It's
was
what
he
it is.
Sad? Was he like, was he
she,
like,
she.
Was she like, wow, this is like a real problem.
It was a problem because what she said was, she said it's the evolution has come so quickly that the other thing is that, you know, she said
overnight.
We took a whole group of young people from 12 to 15, I think it was, it even might have been even been younger, 10 to 15. And we showed them our biggest movie of all time, which was only, 10 years ago, High School Musical.
And
they hated it. So she said all the kids have changed so much that nobody's watching the same stuff. It's all going to YouTube, and it's all for, if it's younger kids, it's all kind of content like this, which again,
Short nice, form
short,
content.
Which is good, but also like bad. It is, you are making, you know, it's maybe not holding the attention span, so attention spans are getting shorter.
Right.
It's bright, it's flashy, it's quick.
Right.
But
the thing that's unique about you, as opposed to maybe some of the other people on the show, even like you said, because there's turnover with the kids, mm-hmm. is that you've been able to watch this yeah. evolution from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. You are in a very unique perspective.
Yeah, I actually just realized recently, I don't mean this in any kind of conceited way, but I'm the longest standing person.
That's great.
Because it's gotten bought out.
Sure.
So Jay's gone, and you know, he's the one who hired me, yeah. and then—
You're there longer than the creator of the show.
And
yeah. But I don't see how or why they would ever want to replace you, but only because your voice to me is a very specific voice. Like I, as the mom, see myself in her, right? But
that's yeah. what it's supposed to do. That's what a good yeah. show is oh, supposed
yeah.
to do.
I'm glad to
right?
hear that. That's like the point. Yeah.
100% connect. Yeah. Oh, do you, Selena, when you hear the mom, do you're like, oh, this is mommy. I'm mommy. See my other friend too.
That warms my heart. That
now there is, happy. So seeing the growth of this show, do you think that the pandemic had anything to do?
Oh.
All kids are home. All right. parents are home. Everybody's kind of together now in right. one space for at this point, an infinite amount of time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's finite, but we still, you know.
Whatever. And also no school and no
exactly.
child care.
There's nothing.
And how do you entertain your
kids?
Do
you think that had something to do with the leap that has happened with the show?
Yeah, well, honestly, I think the leap, like the big leap happened a little before that,
okay.
happened before the pandemic, but I definitely think it expedited even going even faster and like going from millions to billions. Like it
billions
definitely-
with a B. Billions.
Yes, yes.
Billions. That's insane.
The way that YouTube works is that once it's a spillover effect. It's like once you start to get the millions, then you're probably going to end up getting the billions.
Yes.
Really?
The way that the algorithm works is that it rewards views, right? So then more of the right. same people that are tuning into it will be served your videos versus mm-hmm. the competitors' videos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So then they're in a binge watch all yeah. of the videos. And then they do these really smart things on these channels where they do compilations for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes,
they
60
just
minutes.
Paste them all back to back.
And they're all back to back so that, and then they run ads throughout mm-hmm. so they can monetize. Because for the most
Very
part,
smart.
There's no paid advertising during Cocomelon. It's just right. based on viewership.
Right.
And now, Cocomelon does have like toys and stuff. And you mm-hmm. were saying you're actually in some of the toys?
I'm in some of the toys. They just copy paste. They just take the sure. existing audio
material.
Oh,
so they don't make you re-record.
No.
They kind of bought you out yep. as a buyout contract?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, buyout contract.
Okay.
And actually same goes for, like you might know, Cocomelon is also on Spotify and okay. it's on Netflix. And back in the day, they used to copy paste the music from YouTube and then just put those videos back to back on Netflix and pull that music for the Spotify songs. But now it's completely separate. So there's music just for Spotify and then just for the Netflix videos, which are now different from the videos on
and
YouTube.
Why is that? They need a clean record?
It's a great question. I don't know. I think they're just trying to expand and expand and
That's
expand.
That's what I think it is. It's just more content.
And it's just more content.
Yeah, more is more.
More is more is
but
more.
But technically yeah. they're re-recording you for Spotify because they don't want to copy paste that song.
Oh, well, they're doing all new music.
That's the thing.
Oh,
I think it's all new stuff.
Songs.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh,
yeah.
They have me redo some songs that I maybe recorded like 3 years ago. Mm. And then they just want like a fresh take of it. But Spotify, they have also told me they want it to kind of be its own style, a little bit more party music, upbeat.
Gotcha.
So you'll find some more.
Are we going to get the Cocomelon remix coming out soon? Cocomelon like, featuring
the
T-Pain.
Trap version. Right?
There was like a rap. Something they had me do once. I was actually like really excited.
What
I was
like, it?
Oh, I don't even remember. But I just remember being like, oh, this is fun.
This is
like,
great.
I actually get really excited about like spoken parts, just like flat spoken acting parts.
Yeah, yeah.
And like
yeah.
rapping. Because well, I sing all the time. But
are you doing, do you want to do voice work?
That's I mean, like, what I was just, exactly yes. what I was going to get into. Is that if you had your druthers, is that what you're going to do? Do you want to do more animated work?
Well, you're inspiring me just by saying that because. Short answer, yes. And it's funny because, again, it's not what I went into. I was
sure.
in music. That was my thing. And then it kind of went into Cocomelon. And then all of a sudden, my voice was being inserted into this character.
Yeah.
Because it was just kind of a voice before that. And then she started having spoken lines. And that's when I started really having fun with all of that. And it's funny. I get almost more excited when they send me spoken content because it's
sure.
just so fun. And, like, there's a little less, like, well, I don't want to say less technique involved. Acting is all its own technique. But like less precision involved
sure.
in yeah. terms of like, you know, hitting notes. And
it's also just different than what you do.
It's just different
so,
than what I
yeah,
do.
Yeah, which makes it fun, right?
Yes, but I will say, like, honestly, I feel underqualified in terms of like jumping on voiceover jobs right now. Like, I want to take some legit classes, you know.
Well, I think you're saying that because you have such respect for what the voice do.
Yeah.
But I do think you just go for it. Like, one thing I think that we've seen in all of the people that we know is that you make bold choices with your voice and your acting, and then you go for it. And I mean, but no, where's, do you have any voiceover acting classes? I remember that when we do panels at Comic Cons, he suggested a couple.
Sure. Yeah. There are, I mean, yeah, there are plenty of great teachers out there,
there's so much out there.
It's a ton out there, but I mean, you know, if you want to figure out how to become a voiceover actor, Dee Bradley Baker's, who we were just talking about not too long ago, who's one of the best in the business, has a website about it. Steve Bloom, who's a great guy and a wonderful teacher. Mm-hmm. He also does a lot of Zoom stuff. I've been on his show before and his classes before. So yeah, there's plenty of things to do out there. But I think any actor voiceover, any teacher voiceover wise or anything else is going to tell you that it's all about acting.
Right.
So you can do as many funny voices as you want. If you can't act, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's, you know, you are, people forget that it's a voice actor. So the acting is the most important part.
Yep.
And the other thing is, most of the people that we talk to and friends of ours are people that did not set out to become voice actors. That's happening more and more now because animation is becoming so popular.
Yeah.
But people set out to be on-camera actors or singers or opera or something, and they fall into this world and they go, this is a phenomenal world.
You know why I think
it does make me excited.
Why do you like it? I'm curious. Isn't it a magical world? Like, obviously,
it's
you can
a
see the
world.
Effect of you being a part of it, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, being in something like you're in, you're touching the lives of hundreds of millions of kids.
Which is huge.
And parents too. But I mean, the parents are kind of, they've become parents. They're set in their ways.
Right.
The kids, you're molding an entire generation of kids. That's got to be pretty amazing.
Well, and it's funny, and I appreciate you both like saying all that. I really do appreciate it, because sometimes, you know, I'll have one of those crises where I'm sitting there going, what am I doing in the world? Does it matter? You know, kind of thing. I just sing, you know. But then, you know, I'll hear those stories from parents about how it's helping their kids with speech and auditory issues and helping them learn their colors. And, you know, and it is heartwarming to be reminded of that. So thank you. But I would love to explore more of the true voiceover world. It's just most of all of the acting I've done in my life has been intertwined with music.
Sure.
I haven't done much like straight just acting without music being part of it. And I just respect the acting world and actors so much that I would never be one to say like, oh yeah, I'm a professional actor, because I'm
not. But you are.
Oh, you're so sweet.
But you are. Yeah. You absolutely are. Yeah. All right, well, I think it's time. I'd like to jump in. Well, no, I'd like to
this
jump
in. This is going
to
be her first class then.
Well, no. Well, first I was going to jump into the personal stuff first.
Yeah.
I want to get a little more about you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And like what was important. So one of the things we love to find out is what is important to you when you were growing up? What was your Cocomelon when you were growing up? Could you not miss? What animated series did you love? What cartoon were you like, this is my jam right here?
Okay. Well, side note, I was going to say Mr. Rogers, not animated.
Hey, Mr. Rogers totally counts.
Mr. Rogers.
Hugely important.
Yeah,
Mr.
Oh, my gosh.
Hugely important.
Every time he changed his sweater, Mr. Rogers.
And yeah, that just nice soft
just
voice.
Something about that, yes.
Yeah, wonderful.
But animated, I mean, primarily Disney.
Okay.
Like, I grew up with Disney as my university.
Okay.
And it's where I learned all the important life lessons. Thank you both, by the way. when I'm trying to think really little which ones were around when we were, like, really little.
Sure. Yeah.
Obviously, like, all the Disney, like, princess movies, all of that.
Who's your favorite Disney princess?
It's
gotta be Belle.
God. It's Belle.
It is Belle.
Yeah!
Actually, it is Belle.
It is Belle.
You can ask my parents. You can cross-check that. Yeah. It was Belle, yes. But I guess a little bit older, I really did like Proud Family on Disney Channel.
Great
and
show.
Kim Possible.
Another good show.
Show's okay.
That show's all right.
It needs to be rebooted, though.
I agree.
Yeah. It does. And my initials are KP.
Yes,
so
they are.
You can sing the new rebooted theme song.
Please.
That would be awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
And we get to look at you and go, what's up, KP?
Yeah. Oh, stop. Oh, can I get that on replay to, like, just keep for myself
so
you doing
cool.
that?
Cool.
But no, I mean, really, Kim Possible, too. And, like, as cheesy as it sounds, like, it really was an empowering show. Like,
it was.
It really
time,
was.
It?
Yeah. This is a full circle moment for me.
It is.
That KP inspired this KP that's now inspiring my babies.
Yes. 100%.
That's what they call a Tarantino circle.
Well, and they're just in our our generation, not like we're old, but you know, when we were younger, there wasn't as much of that like female empowerment, you know, that's really evolved over the years. And now the Disney movies are like really getting it right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't need a prince, you know, it's not what it's about anymore.
They've changed the topics of conversation. Yes.
Yes.
As well they should.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's great.
Well, how many movies should you do about finding the one true love? I mean, that's just boring ever.
That's a pretty important thing though, finding your one true love. If you can. I mean, not everybody does, so.
But
loving yourself, I think, is probably the most important thing.
That's true.
Yes.
And yeah.
But going back to kind of what you were saying, like, I think just the magical thing about animation is that it triggers the imagination. Like, no matter what age you are.
It does, yeah.
That's cool.
Like, no matter how old you are.
I think that's true.
And so it was a huge part of, like, me developing creativity as a kid. Like, I feel like I watched animation, like, even into, like, my younger teen years.
Okay, I still watch it all the time. All the time.
What are your go-tos? Like, what do you watch like every week? Do you how much animation do you watch?
I watch every new, especially so DC. It's so funny because the DC superhero movies that are live action are not nearly as good as DC's animated movies. Which
you mean
DC,
like Doom Patrol?
Like what?
Doom Patrol?
What's Doom Patrol?
Doom Patrol. You haven't seen it? It's a live action DC show.
Yeah, no. I mean,
it felt relevant for the conversation.
That's good. No, I mean, like all the the kind of animated great DC stuff that comes out, all the Justice Leagues, League Darks, all the kind of Catwomans, all the Harley Quinns, all the stuff that's out there. Like I watch that stuff all the time.
And my wife like is so binging funny, she's or like, rewatching. Enjoy. Yeah.
Both. I mean, there's times I will turn on Batman the Animated Series. I will turn on Justice League. I'm a big DC fan when it comes to animation. I'm a big Marvel fan too, but
I was going to say like Marvel type stuff.
Yeah. I like Marvel too. You know, I was Peter Quill. I was Star-Lord for 5 years on Guardians of the Galaxy, so I loved the Marvel universe as well, but the DC universe to me has always been my go-to since I was a kid. So watching all that stuff,
you have a history,
hugely important to me.
Interesting.
Going back to what you said, triggering your imagination, but it also brings you right. There's something Pavlovian about it, where it brings you right back to childhood.
So there's something very safe about it.
When we meet our fans, they always like they when they quote unquote fangirl or fanboy, it's like they become kids again.
Mm-hmm.
They like revert back.
It's which safety is a perfect word. It's a feeling of safety.
It is wonderful, and it does. They say that there's three scents that take you back to childhood quicker than any other smells. It's Play-Doh, peanut butter, and crayons.
Oh, they're designated scents.
Yeah, no, this is actually when you smell them as an adult, when you smell either Play-Doh, crayons, or peanut butter.
Crayons for sure.
Your olfactory senses
definitely
kick in.
Play-Doh,
and it kind of brings you right back to childhood.
Play-Doh and
there's a serotonin boost,
yep,
and there's a safety to it. I get that sometimes visually, but I mean, I deal with anxiety. I've talked about this I've dealt with it for 20 some odd years. So anything that relaxes me is something that hold close to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And animation has always been one of those things where I can turn it on and it's comfort for me. The idea that you are doing that for an entire generation of kids in the billions of views. I'm saying that
they're doing it for parents as well. Because when I know that my child is sitting someplace safe for a certain amount of time, because they're really only about 3-minute videos
and then, learning something.
Well, it's
some
weird.
Of them, some of the videos, of them, yeah.
But even just like that, it's not that they're learning something wrong or like they're just, it's just very, like you said, it's just nice.
Yeah.
I can tell you that my anxiety level in the middle of the day is pretty high if I'm exclusively watching the kids and very tired or whatever, right?
Sure.
And this is why this is kind of relatable. And so I'm very anxious. I'm like, okay, fine. Let's just launch the YouTube. Yep. I'm in the house. Like,
it's reliable.
You know, you can deal with my anxiety.
That's
like,
great.
That is a legit concern.
And think about it. How many things, anything out there, can genuinely affect somebody that is 18 months old and somebody that is 28 or 29 years old, 30 years old? Very few things can hit those two markets at the
same
time.
That's what Disney's up against.
Oh,
right
I see what you're saying. Right, it took me a second. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
you're
affecting the kids and you're affecting the parents.
Right.
And then there's people like me that didn't know anything about it. It's a whole, again,
and now
but that's
you
the nerddom.
See, and
that's the joy of the nerddom,
but it's
is you
webbing
don't know anything
out.
About it.
Yeah. The longer it that is. You guys stay in, and then the more and more mainstream, you're going to web out. And
I don't think it's going anywhere.
Okay, so what's the future of Cocomelon?
And I know you were wondering a lot about the trajectory. So, if I kind of went really fast with it, Craigslist post, saying Twinkle Twinkle Star over the phone. And then, you know, it was just these kind of videos on YouTube. To be honest, at the beginning, I didn't even really tell many people about it because I just, you know, graduated with my opera degree. And
sure,
I was
right.
I'm singing Twinkle Twinkle professionally.
No one's going to watch that.
No. And then it grew traction, you know, a couple of years later. And then literally like overnight is when it blew up. And then so now it's on Netflix, Spotify, and they have more ideas and things that are going to be happening. I can sure. tell you
How
that.
Do you know that? Do they bring you
they
into those conversations?
They do tell me some things, yes.
Why do they do that? Why do like, they tell you?
Fun little, you know.
Because they like you.
I well, hope obviously, so.
But yeah. she's remote. So, how do you guys act? Because usually, when I would find out stuff about our show, I'd have to be there. Like, you know how like Mark and Bob will be like, by the way,
this is also 2000, so they'd hand us a letter or something like that. This was there was no right. This, there was nothing on the YouTubes. Yes. It was
well,
like
actually, yeah. they just emailed me the other day, like, hey, we want to set up. Hey, KP, we want to set up another Zoom meeting just to like audio check in, just check sure. in, talk about things in the future of Cocomelon and where things are going.
Oh, that's great that you're kept in the loop for everything.
They are like, actually ever since the acquisition. You know, it's I've been kept in the loop about more things and where. Oh, wanting great. Things to go, yeah, which is nice. But I do also find out about some things, they just happen, and I'm like, oh. But I did recently learn that I have a name, which I don't think I can say yet.
Oh,
I don't,
I'm excited.
I don't know
so
if
was
they
it just Cocomelon Mom?
It's just Mom.
Oh, okay.
For a really long
yeah,
time.
Just Mom and Dad.
Save the name.
Yeah, and then yeah, they yeah. sent me, showed me like a storyboard now of all the characters and their actual names and like things about them and what they like to do and their hobbies. I'm like,
wow.
This is great.
Oh, they're backstoring it. Now. Yeah. Nice.
It would be good time for yes. you to get those classes in because maybe they'll start to really right. start to build it out and have an actual show.
Right.
With less music. You mm-hmm. know, I, who knows what they're going to start
right.
to do.
Well, and I know I can say this because it has been publicized. There is a show, another, because Cocomelon is on Netflix already, and then there's going to be Cocomelon Lane, which is even more of a spinoff of Cocomelon. And to be totally honest, I actually don't know my part in it yet.
Okay.
So, but they have, you have, it's been in articles, so I know I can talk about it. Yeah. But yeah, they're just going in lots of different directions. And
they're so smart to do that.
They are.
They have to strike it. I mean, the thing I've learned about content creation for yourself, right, is that like you have to like make the bold choices, but then you have to strike while the iron's hot. And if you yep. know, and you also have to pivot. Like, you know, us doing this podcast isn't something that, you know, a year ago was on the books, but right. like we do the deep digging into the analytics or we just, we do.
We also
enough.
Were just talking about it and we're like, this would be fun.
This would be really yeah, great.
That was the other thing. We were just really kind of, the analytics, all that stuff. I don't know anything about that. I was like, you know, what'd be cool is talking to all our voiceover friends. And I was like, okay.
And so yeah. that was and you pretty like much know it. So many people already, right?
Exactly.
So you're just like calling your friends.
We, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We get to call all our buddies in and stuff like that. So that's great. Very, very cool. Okay. So I have a question then.
Yes.
You said you graduated with an opera degree.
Yeah.
So you get to pick what you sing. And the venue, where are you and what are you singing?
Oh, I like that.
Oh, like if it's opera specific?
Anything you want, anywhere in the world you want. You get to fill an auditorium, a stadium, anywhere you want. What are you singing and where are you?
Okay. Ooh, auditoriums. I have to like really think about that. Like outdoor would be cool. Okay, let's say, for the sake of time, because I really have to think about this, but let's say Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
Just like Broadway, Disney.
I love that.
And this is where I was like, I feel like we're the same person.
I love that. No, nice. You're a gorgeous, gorgeous voice.
Yeah. Oh my God. And
are
so
you,
are you.
Are you, you're a soprano?
I'm a soprano.
Which side? Are you like coloratura?
I'm just like a good old boring lyric soprano.
Oh, I love that.
So there's
that.
Like coloratura soprano, which is like the really fast moving kind of singing.
Okay.
There's like dramatic soprano, which is like, think like Brunhilde horns, like.
Whoa. Isn't soprano then, just a tone of singing?
It is talking about the range that you sit singing, in right? when you sing. Yes. Okay. Although mezzo sopranos can sing freakishly high too, but they just tend to have like beefier sounding voices.
Oh, okay. Because I was told I'm a bad singer. Is what I was told.
No,
so.
We need a whole nother podcast on the stigma of bad singing because everyone okay. can sing.
I can rap. Well. The Naked Mole Rap was pretty great.
It is yeah. great. The Naked Mole Rap.
But okay, so now here's yeah. my question.
But that's where I live is like the Disney. I mean, I'm told yes. every day I sound like a princess.
But are
like,
you going to
part
be?
Loves
you
look it, part like me hates one. It. But
on the ride home, I'm guessing though you're going to be sitting there and you're going to be like, no. Oh, that's not yeah. what I wanted to say. It's going to be the Roman Colosseum.
I dig it. I see it. Yeah, it's very on brand. Oh, and you. By the way, yes. if you didn't know, I'm just going to throw a little shout out to some friends. There is a Disney Princess concert series that's kind of traveling right now. And it's with Susan Egan and it's Annalisa van der Poel and a couple other really amazing ladies. And they're just about, I think they just finished Austin and they're bopping around the whole country. So if you're interested in that kind of
Is that
singing,
something you'd want to do?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Like,
they're
yes.
doing this whole tour.
That's amazing.
And it's really wonderful. So.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I mean, yes, I feel like I live in this kind of hybrid world where I was trained classically, but I've also always sang contemporary. And like, at the end of the day, if I sing pop music, I sound like a classical singer singing pop music. And right. if I sing classical, I sound like a classical singer that can sing pop. So that's why I love the musical theater kind mm-hmm. of world, because sure. it's this perfect hybrid that kind
so
of...
So Broadway, is that something that you're interested in?
I love Broadway. The whole world of it, like what you did with Belle on Broadway, I don't know if I have the mental, emotional capacity to handle those demands of performance.
Oh, I think you could do it.
You know, oh, thanks.
I think you could do it.
Yeah, I do.
But just being realistic, it's a lot, you know?
Yeah.
That is a part of the world I had thought about going at one point, and it didn't quite go there. But yeah, musical theater, Broadway, love.
Well, is it a fear? I'm curious. Is that what makes you would say, like, I'm not sure I could do it?
I think it's more of a, oof, we're getting deep now. But yeah, that's okay. I feel like it's more of like a, I've never quite known where I fit.
Okay.
Because I'm not just an opera singer, and sure. I'm not just a pop singer. I'm this really interesting hybrid in between.
Okay.
You know what I
yes,
mean?
Yes, I do.
And well, that's yeah. why musical theater is great. Mm-hmm. But I think it took me time. It's kind of, journeys are like this.
Sure,
you know?
Of course.
And so I went the opera route because I had that kind of voice. But then really realized I sounded a little more princessy musical theater and was like, oh, that's where my voice lives. Okay. But I didn't go into it early. Like, I didn't do the whole stage life thing.
Right.
As a teenager and going into college. Like, okay. people got their degrees in... Because the school I went to, Cal State Fullerton, I got my opera degree in the music department. And then there was the theater department where you could get your musical theater degree. And that was a whole different thing.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
triple threat, dancing, acting. Acting comes first, dancing, singing, where I was just music, singing, singing, singing. So I feel like, yeah, I've just felt, I guess, underqualified in a way. But I'm trying to... I don't know. Trying to not feel that way.
Good. That's good.
You're helping with that.
I think
thank
that's
you.
Good. Yeah.
But, it's like when you say that you feel like there's this stigma against certain techniques and the way that people sound when they sing and stuff yeah. like that. Like it's like that. But
that's a good point. Yeah.
You can do anything that you choose to do in the future. You know, like
I agree.
We're big supporters of you in all of the growth that hopefully that Cocomelon will give you and. Thank should you. We do the thing?
We should, absolutely. Okay. But I have one more question just very quickly.
Getting you know back what? To- he started off by saying he didn't even know Cocomelon.
I don't.
And he's
I don't.
The one that's asking all the questions.
Vamping.
I'm here for this.
I am vamping because I'm learning about Cocomelon, but I also want to see her. I want to see KP on Broadway. So here's the thing, because we are I Hear Voices and we talk a lot about yes. animation. So yes. forget about singing for a second.
Okay.
You can be any animated character you want. You can play any role you want in a great animated series. Who do you play and why?
Oh, I knew these questions were going to come and I was going to freak out, not know what to say.
Anything you want.
Like a character that exists already?
Whatever you want.
Doesn't exist.
This, whatever you want.
Okay, this is just where my brain went, but what if Kim Possible had a cousin?
Okay.
No, but I definitely would want it to be woman empowerment
okay.
uh-huh. kind of thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I would like that.
Okay. Kim Possible has a cousin.
Kim Possible has a cousin.
Okay. Who's a, who's
but like,
a
it's
singer
a little, like,
on Broadway.
We both sort of save the world, but in different ways.
I love okay. this.
I love this.
Because what, I'm trying to remember Kim Possible... It wasn't a specific thing. She just saved the world from everything.
Yeah. Pretty much.
She just had no fear.
Yeah.
She had no fear. And then he had fear, but he was always there to back her up.
Right. And he would conquer. Yep. He was the conqueror of the fear
guy. He did a good
guy.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But I could see that.
Okay.
I do feel like I relate so much to KP.
Yes. Okay.
And I promise I'm not just saying that just because it's fitting.
KP is
it's
for
fitting.
You.
No, that's
but
good.
KP is for me. And I still have a couple friends who call me Kim Possible. And I am not the Kim Possible. She is the Kim Possible. The one and only.
Take it. I
yes.
give up.
I'm done. Take it.
Remake.
Okay.
Please.
So
yes.
We do have one other fun thing that we do. And it's evolving as our show evolves. So eventually this will be fully interactive, but we're not quite there yet. So what we're doing is eventually... kids especially will be calling in and be able to speak to their favorite voiceover talent.
Oh, I love
and
it.
Send in pictures of characters they've drawn.
Yeah.
And the voiceover actors get to put a voice to
but
them.
But maybe she can sing a song.
That's what I'm thinking too.
That's,
so
oh God.
Here's the
you
thing.
Can give me words I can sing.
No.
we called around and Christy, I think her name is Christy, went to her social media platforms.
Oh.
And kids and other people sent in some drawings.
Oh.
And we would love you to pick one or two. And if you'd like to do the voice or sing a little song in the character's voice.
Oh my God. Yes, because so different. We are now a little different than you.
Want to put you on the spot.
A good challenge.
So we make you blindly pick two.
I like
two,
that.
If you'd
blindly
like.
Blindly picking. Two? And there's a name at the top, and then there's an age, maybe.
Oh, so
let's
cute.
See.
And you're gonna have to show everybody.
We have
kitties.
Both kitties.
Are they
both kitties? They're both kitties.
It looks like the same person.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So I'm trying to think if there's like
Aubrey, 12 years old.
So that one's from Aubrey, who's 12. Can we show the camera?
Oh, this one.
So when you see that character, you don't have to sing. Okay. If you just want to do a voice.
This is my voiceover practice.
Please, there's a voiceover practice is good.
Because the mom's like the one thing I got in my pocket. That's
there
like,
you go. So, I guarantee you your pocket is deeper than that.
And do we give her a backstory?
And does the cat have a name?
We've been naming them after whoever drew them. So I think that's Aubrey the cat.
Oh, this is Aubrey the cat. Yeah. I love Aubrey the cat.
How would Aubrey sound?
I feel like Aubrey the cat would sound a little bit like this. I don't know why I gave her an accent, though.
You're allowed to.
Your instinct.
She has one now, so there that's what we're going to go with. And I just had my breakfast, and, you know, I was talking to my dog friends, but they were being a little weird, so I came back home and took a nap.
There you go. That's Aubrey the cat.
That's Aubrey the cat.
Oh. Yay.
And what if Aubrey sang Twinkle Twinkle? Can Aubrey sing Twinkle Twinkle?
In Aubrey's voice?
I guess so, yeah.
There you go.
Where the heck this accent came from? I feel like
I love it. Go with
you
it.
I know where they come from.
I really hope it's not offensive.
No, you never know where they come from.
Okay. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
Yay!
So cute. Oh,
my Aubrey goodness. The cat, apparently
guys,
from the
this
Midwest.
This is my voiceover training right now. This
That's
is
good.
It.
Yes.
This is it.
That's good. We love
bold
that.
Bold choices.
Well, now we have 52 more for you.
Oh, good.
We're kidding. So this has been great. We kind of hit, so Cocomelon, small little show, hopefully going to take off.
Yeah, one
maybe
day.
Maybe by the next 100 billion
maybe
views.
Maybe one day people.
Well, actually, no, I've learned
so
a ton
much.
From
I feel
this.
Like you have.
I've learned so much. I've learned that kids love it, that I still don't want children.
Yeah.
And but that the show is a juggernaut.
But if you forget how to tie your shoes or brush your teeth, you know where to
I will be sending Will a lot of links.
There's many, there are to many. It. There
he will have to block my number. In
Again,
order for him to
good animation and good morals and something that's just fun. And happy.
Yes,
I'm down
very
for that.
Happy.
There's
very
nothing
happy.
Wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing.
So I will be part of the population of your audience that says thank you for all that you do. And I look forward to seeing how it all grows for you. And
thank you.
I think good things will happen. I do.
All right. So KP. Which yes. is now officially what I'm going to be calling you from this
KP
point
number
on.
Two. She's KP number
KP
one.
KP number two.
Yes.
where if people want to follow you or they want to find out what you're doing, where can they hit you up?
Yes. On TikTok, you can find me at Cocomelon Mom.
I love that.
Stole that name. On Instagram, it's just my boring old name, Kristen Princiata. And I am on Cameo as well, if you know what Cameo is, where you can hire me to like sing happy birthday or your kid's favorite Cocomelon song for them for their birthday or something in a video. And that is cameo.com/Cocomelon Mom.
Nice. Okay. Very quickly. What is your favorite Cocomelon song?
Dang it. Why do you?
We got to end on a high note. And that note is making you run through 700 songs in your head and pick your favorite
I'm
one.
I'm literally running through 700 songs in my head right this exact moment. And I'm going to keep talking until
what was your favorite one to record? Was that easier?
Oh, if you want to record.
I'm just going to keep throwing questions at you.
We did a pasta song recently that I really liked and was a lot of fun.
Okay. Are we just going to say the pasta song? Is that the easiest
way
to do it?
Yeah,
we're
going to
say
song.
The, and I mean, like, how stereotypical is this? Because
I will,
Italian.
Yes.
But the pasta song,
yes!
And I loved it because it was like a song, it's like an original song and it's not like a remake.
Well, there you go.
That's fun.
You know what? Yes. Let's eat pasta. Let's go eat some pasta and watch the
eat
pasta,
your pasta
song.
It's not always good.
More
for
than
you,
likely, we will be eating noodles because my girls only eat noodles and we will be watching that pasta song tonight.
Yay.
Thanks,
oh
KP.
My gosh. Yay. Absolutely.
There you go. I think Cocomelon might take off.
It might.
I see it having a future.
And you guys are royalty to me, so thank you for all the life lessons I grew up with. And I mean,
well, you're certainly paying that forward, aren't you, to an entire generation of kids watching your show. So thank you so much for coming on here. Rest your voice.
Yes, KP.
Because you seem to use it a lot. And KP, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Will Friedle. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?